Congressman Benny Thompson, he's not satisfied with the Homeland Security Department's answers about why Richard Spires took leave and eventually resigned as the department's CIO. Thompson once asked DHS for more specifics on that situation. In the latest edition of his biweekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller discusses this new turn of events, and he joins us now. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So this sounds like a low-level skirmish between Homeland Security and Capitol Hill over the fate of Richard Spires. What did they tell Congressman Thompson?
Yeah, this was a short one-page letter from about a three-page letter from Congressman Thompson about three or four weeks ago. And it offered very few new details on why Richard Spires went on leave and eventually decided to quit his job as the chief information officer. Interestingly enough, Nelson Peacock is the now former Assistant Secretary of Legislative Affairs. He actually just left for the private sector in the last week, and he was the one who wrote to Thompson. And basically what he said was, listen, because of personnel and privacy rules, I can't tell you why he decided to take leave and resign. He says, I can confirm it's not related to any testimony he delivered back in February, any testimony he was scheduled to deliver back in March, and it was also has nothing to do with the fact that there's any disagreement concerning his authority as the DHS CIO. These were the common, if you will, rumors that were reported widely across the federal community, but he put those to rest finally. Thompson also asked about acting CIO Margie Graves and her background, and he was, again, less than satisfied with what he received from DHS. Thompson called it nothing more than a typical biographical sketch you can find online, and he wants to know more about why Graves is in that role, why she qualified, how she is qualified, and what she's done in the past.
So, first, with regards to Spires, back us up a little bit. What exactly was Thompson referring to? Did he mention any sort of specific allegations or suspicions?
He didn't. I mean, basically what happened was Richard Spires went on administrative leave. He chose to take administrative leave. And he didn't just take it for a week or two. He didn't go on vacation. He seemed to have left the department. And that raised some obviously questions about why and what's the reason behind it. It's not necessarily a usual occurrence for a political appointee just to kind of leave one day. Usually they resign. Usually they make an announcement. Usually it may, like Jeffrey Zients, happen with no one paying attention. It may happen with Scott Goldberg. Everyone knows about it, and there's some kind of, you know, I don't want to say event, but just kind of a recognition of the service that person did. And I think that then there were some media reports that talked about certain things that happened, like this testimony that Richard Spires gave around the CIO authorities, and there were some rumors about whether Richard Spires had overstepped his bounds when it comes to CIO authorities and got to an argument with the secretary of DHS, which he did not. And I think this is where this is coming from. Thompson just says, hey, you have a huge IT spend, $6 billion. DHS is one of those agencies that you know, impacts everything that the government does in many ways. It impacts society and impacts citizens, and he wants to know what's going on. If there's something that's management-wise not working well, he wants it to be fixed.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller. And was Spires liked on Capitol Hill?
That's a great question. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, when I've seen him testify, it was never an argument. There was never anything where you walked away going, ooh, that was bad. But, you know, what happens behind closed doors, who knows? I mean, that's one of those questions where, it's really, you don't hear too much talking about.
All right, well, let's move on to another topic in your reporter's notebook. Something that has reared its ugly little head again is the cap. Well, I guess it depends on your point of view.
Yeah.
The cap on how much the government will reimburse contractors for executive salaries. Now, this was a point of big contention last year, and some of the trade associations fought that provision. What's going on now?
It's going to be another big point of contention, I think. In fact, I give this credit to Jared Serbu, our intrepid DOD reporter. He actually dug this out of the defense authorization bill and found the fact that the language was put into the DOD authorization bill that would cap the reimbursement the government would give to contractors at $400,000, down from more than $763,000.
But that's more than about $200,000 the administration was proposing last year.
Exactly, and in fact, that was more than the $203,000 or so that the Senate proposed last year. But what's interesting about this is that not that the fact it's in the bill, but the who that put it in the bill. And what Jared did was he dug into what they call the metadata of the bill and found that it was actually put in, the provision was put in by the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. Matthew Blum, one of the high-ranking, I think, assistant administrators of OFPP, he was the author of that language. And that's a little unusual. So when Frank Kendall, the DOD Undersecretary for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, was asked about this cap at a recent event, he couldn't answer the question because he didn't know it was in there. And that kind of layers on the not the mystery per se, but just the interesting twists and turns of this contractor cap.
So in other words, Jared looked at the Word document, the Microsoft Word document of this, what is it, about a 900-page bill,
yeah,
and looked at the metadata, which goes along with Microsoft Word documents showing who edited it, and Matthew Blum showed up not on the face of the document, but deep in the metadata as having inserted that language.
Exactly.
And unbeknownst to defense officials.
Exactly. And I think, you know, one of the things that Frank Kendall said was, well, I'll have to look into this a little bit more. I mean, that was kind of his, he gave some other stock response, but basically the long and short was a head scratcher for him.
So therefore some lieutenant is now scurrying to get all the metadata that's in there to find out what else might be buried.
And who he needs to talk to.
Exactly. And Matthew Blum is maybe getting a call from Frank Kendall.
All right. Well, two interesting tidbits from Jason Miller's Reporter's Notebook, which appears every other week at federalnewsradio.com, and this has been Jason Miller himself, our executive editor. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.